Welcome to another edition of Everything EV from EV Powered. I'm Matt Allen, editor of EV Powered, and today I'm joined by Luke Broad, brand director at Dacia UK, to discuss the launch of the Dacia Spring, the brand's first electric car in the UK, and the issue of affordability in the EV market. Hi Luke, thanks for joining me. Obviously, the hot topic with Dacia today is around the Spring. You've just announced the pricing of your first all-electric model. And I think, actually, you've probably taken people by surprise with just how affordable it is. We were expecting it to be cheap, but possibly not quite this cheap. So prices from $14,995, which clearly makes it the most affordable electric car on the market. It also makes it one of the most affordable brand new cars on the market. So I was just hoping you could tell us a bit about the car in general and also how Dacia's managed to keep it so affordable.
Yeah, of course. I mean, thank you for having me on today. What we like to say at Dacia, and one of the things that we would have tattooed on our arms if we had to, would be that Dacia is the best value for money brand that constantly redefines the essentials. And what I love about the Dacia Spring is it really embodies everything that Dacia is all about. And to expand on that a little more, the car is, it's an A-segment car, we would classify it as. So think, you know, Renault Twingo size, Fiat 500 size. So it's quite a small little car, but it's really designed for one purpose, and that is as a small city car. So for people who are going to the shops and back, they might have the occasional journey up the dual carriageway. And the way that we've managed to bring it to the market at such an affordable price is by looking at what is essential for the vast majority of EV owners today and building a car that caters to those essentials.
So do you think that's something that's been missing from the market until now is this? We've had a lot of large sort of SUVs, electric SUVs, you know, a lot of focus on that. So do you think this is where the market needs to go next, is these city segment small cars to widen the appeal of EVs?
Yeah, I mean, I think more and more manufacturers will join us in this space, which is ultimately good for the consumer, and it's also good for competition. Today, the majority of the market is heavy vehicles that have quite large batteries, and therefore they also have quite large costs. And actually, that's fine because those needs and those requirements, they are right for a lot of people. But there's also a lot of people who they can't afford the entry ticket to buy one of these cars, and electric vehicle ownership is just not within their capability today, which is why what we want to try and achieve with the Dacia Spring is to make it much more accessible for people to make that EV transition. You know, the car's available from $14,995, sorry. And it's not like we've launched with a really cheap entry spec and then, you know, we've got a really expensive one. The top trim is only $16,995, you know, so that's with all the bells and whistles, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, vehicle to load functionality, DC charging, you know. This is not a basic car, it's an essential car, and we've put into the car what people use and what adds value to their everyday lives. And we've done it at an affordable price, which stays true to the Dacia brand philosophy.
So can you just talk a little bit more about that? Obviously, in terms of charging speed and things, there are certain compromises in terms of the range. How did Dacia sort of determine that this is what's right for the market? Because clearly we've got people selling cars with 300 plus mile range. How did you sort of settle on the right balance between range, charging speeds, and keeping the cost down?
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky enough, and Dacia's lucky enough, to be part of Renault Group. And we've been playing in the electric vehicle game now since 2010. So as a group, we have the expertise and the knowledge in this field. And actually, over that decade or more experience that we've got, we've also got lots of data. And the data that we looked at, it showed us people who buy electric cars or Renault Group electric cars, they're travelling on average 23 miles per day. On average, I'm saying, you know, you'll have extreme one end or the other. But the average driver is driving 23 miles a day. So we took this idea and said, well, if people are only travelling this far per day, do we actually need to design a car at Dacia that has, you know, 400, 500 mile range? Because whilst some people have requirement for this and it's really important to them, a lot of people don't, because they jump in their car, they take the kids to the school, they nip to the shop and back, they might go the motorway once a week or something like this. So we designed a car with a modest size battery, I would say, at 27 kilowatt hour battery. So it's not huge, but because the battery isn't huge, the car is super efficient. It's under a ton. And because it's under a ton, it's not having to lug around a lot of weight. And because it doesn't have to lug around a lot of weight, it's of course really efficient, and it also means we're not charging customers for a big heavy battery that they're carrying around that the vast majority of people don't use the full capability of. So it's all about designing a car that is really specific, and to be clear, has its compromises for some people. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say to you, this car is for absolutely everybody, but for people using it as a second car or for people using it as a primary car within the city, actually, it's quite an interesting proposition for them, you know, because the price is right, the technology is right, and the efficiency is right.
So, as you say, it's designed for a purpose and it serves that purpose. And do you expect the market to sort of fill up with more cars like that now? Obviously, you've got out ahead of the game, but obviously we know that there are one or two other brands. But do you think this is something we're going to see a big expansion in, or do you think it's always going to be preserve of more value focused brands like yourselves?
No, I think we'll see more people join us in this space. You know, we've already seen VW make announcements, or VW Group from the various brands. So more people will join us in this space. But Dacia is here now, and what I really wanted to do was launch the car with the best equipment that people want at the best price to really make people stand up and think, oh, actually, an electric car could be interesting for me. But for sure, I think we'll be joined in this space by other brands in the next 2 or 3 years. But as I said earlier, competition is good. It's good for customers, and it's also good for me. It keeps us and my team on the toes.
So obviously you feel, and I think most manufacturers do feel, that these lower price options, the smaller, the city segment cars, are going to be an important part in getting people into electric vehicles. But obviously there are incentives and grants and things that also help with this. So things like the salary sacrifice scheme, obviously that helps business customers. From Dacia's point of view, you're more of a retail brand. Do you think there's still scope for support for private buyers, for more incentives somewhere around the private market to encourage people? Or do you think it is more just that we need more lower cost vehicles?
I don't want you to think my answer is a bit of a cop out, but I actually think it's a bit of both, you know. I think the government have laid down the gauntlet. We have the 2035 deadline that at least it's clear, and all of the industry is mobilized towards this deadline. You touched on it in your question, but a lot of the battery electric vehicle sales today are being driven by fleet customers. And when I say fleet customers, I mean these are vehicles bought through companies, effectively salary sacrifice, things like this. On retail, so for retail customers, so for people who are just walking into our dealerships and buying a car, battery electric cars have been challenging, I would say, from 2022. It's remained pretty static. One of the major barriers is, of course, price. So we address that today with the Spring. We come in with a really, really affordable car. You also have the additional things that people are worried about. How do I charge a thing? Range anxiety, all this thing that we have to explain and to discuss with our customers. But I think on retail customers, and could the government help? Of course, but we don't count on government help. The SMMT recently shared some interesting proposals that I think would really help stimulate retail demand on electric cars. This is things like halving the VAT rate on electric cars. It also includes things like for electric cars that go into the luxury tax VED rate when new, perhaps reducing this and normalizing it, because straight away, if a car exceeds a certain price point, you have to pay £2,000 VED on first registration. And the third thing is reducing the VAT rate on public charging infrastructure so that it is aligned with charging your car at home, because you only pay 5% VAT when you charge your car at home. So they're only, you know, small, but I would say significant incentives. And anything that the government will do will, of course, help stimulate retail demand. But we're not counting on it, sorry, as an industry, and we're doing everything we can to try and entice retail buyers into electric cars and making that transition.
It's interesting that you mentioned sort of educating drivers as well around things and around the whole process of switching to EVs. Do you think that's something that as a brand you need to do to sort of explain why the Spring is right for some people? Do you think that's something that the industry in broader terms still has work to do on?
Yeah, and you know, I don't say educating in a patronizing way either, because actually, you compare what the vast majority of people are used to. You're used to talking in miles per gallon, how big is the fuel tank in liters, and all of a sudden you're switching to a totally new vocabulary, and, you know, what does all this mean? How much is all of this going to cost? So I would say we need to explain in a very simple, clear way to customers what the transition means for them and what is the cost to their pockets. Because, you know, fine, electric cars are green, but there's also a financial implication there for people as well. I think as an industry, we can make talking about the transition much more simple. And it's basic things like agreeing on a unified set of languages and how we measure things so that everybody is comparing apples with apples. So we're doing that slowly but surely. And I also think with Dacia and with this car in particular, because it is so simple, affordable, easy to use, easy to drive, I really believe that we as a brand have an opportunity to demystify the whole EV buying experience and to talk about it in a simple, no-nonsense, clear way. And that's the brief that I've set the team. We're working on that at the moment. So over the coming months, you'll start to see us talk a lot more about how can customers make this transition, what does it mean to them, and demystifying some of the preconceptions.
I think that is quite an important thing. It's, as you say, it's demystifying things that maybe been misrepresented. So it's explaining to people that, you know, this is how it works, this is how to use it.
Yeah, I think so. And also, I'll use a great example of that. You know, I touched earlier, how have we brought this car to market at such a price point? A big reason for that is we haven't fitted a massive battery to the car, as I said, and the car is lightweight. So although the range is average, I would say, you know, 186 miles urban, 137 miles mixed usage, one of the roles that we have to do is explain that, look, that's not going to be suitable for every person, you know. If you're the sort of person who's flying up the motorway every weekend to Sheffield, then you're probably not going to want to buy this car, although you could make it work. But for those people who are nipping to the shops, they're using it as a second car, as a runaround, actually, it makes a lot of sense. And when you're charging the thing overnight at home on one of those Octopus 7 pence per kilowatt hour rates, you're talking £2 to fill your car up, and you're getting 140 to 180 miles out of it. So the whole ownership model makes a lot of sense. And combined with that lower purchase price, it does become quite difficult to ignore for retail customers.
Yeah, I think that addresses the issue at both stages, the purchase price issue and the running cost issue. When you can bundle it like that, you're suddenly looking at something that does make a lot of sense and is comparable to a regular ICE-powered city car.
Yeah, and you know, even the charging camp at home I'm talking about, you know, even that can be quite a challenge, because sometimes you need to have changes made to your wall box at home and to facilitate a wall box being installed. So with our car, because the battery is right for purpose, you can charge the thing up from 0 to 100% in 7 hours just using a 3-pin socket. So again, for people who, well, I don't know what the wall box is all about, I don't want one of those attached to the side of my house, fine. You can just charge it up in a 3-pin socket, but it will take 7 hours versus, you know, 4 hours with a proper wall box.
But again, it's that the simplified, keeping things simple for customers, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, if I compare buying energy at home to buying fuel at a petrol station, when you're buying fuel at a petrol station, it's easy, isn't it? Because you just look at the price, you pull up, put the thing in, you're done in a minute. Whereas when you're charging your car at home, you can take some small decisions to really optimize the thing. So my second car is an electric car. My first car is, of course, a Dacia. And I only recently discovered I could move to one of these overnight 7 pence per kilowatt hour rates. And it's been a total game changer, because I've, you know, divided my charging bills by, you know, 6, 7, 8. So it makes a lot of sense. But do the vast majority of people in the general public know that you can switch to this tariff and you save that much money overnight? I don't think that they do. And it's just explaining that this is achievable, it's available, and it's actually quite straightforward to switch, to be honest. You just press a button on the website and then it's done within a couple of hours. So lots to talk about, but it's our job as a manufacturer to make that as simple, straightforward and easy as possible.
Absolutely. I know obviously we're here today talking about spring and this is going to be your focus for the next while, but what's next in terms of electrification for Dacia? Is spring the end point, or have you got bigger plans for further down the line?
Well, we are lucky to be part of Renault Group. So we have the Renault brands, the Dacia brands, the Alpine brands. And because of that, all of the cost of R&D and investing in all of these platforms, it's been paid for by the Renault brand. So for us at Dacia, it's really easy. We just decide, you know, what do we want to take, when do we want to take it, and we can go. But the strategy is not to go with the market on Dacia. The strategy is to go as late as possible or when people are ready to make the switch. And as I touched on earlier, because we are part of Renault Group, we can be pretty flexible in when we decide to electrify our powertrains. So if you ask me the question directly, when will Dacia go fully electric? Then my answer to you would be the 31st of December, 2035. So it's part of the strategy. It's part of a benefit of being part of Renault Group. We are the affordable mobility brand of Renault Group. But for people who want to be ahead of the times with technology, with mileage, with range, with all of this exciting, cool stuff that brands are working on, then we have a solution in Renault. But for those who want to maybe take things a bit slower, take things a bit more affordable and have technology that is proven but is essential and adds value to their life, then we're here for Dacia. But of course, we will slowly but surely begin to electrify our entire range of products.
So you're taking a much more sort of customer-led view of how you're going to electrify your range and your lineup.
It's exactly that. As soon as customers want it, we put it in the cars and we develop cars to do it. And I'll use a great example of that, Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. What we say at Dacia is we only fit essential features to our cars. But essential doesn't mean basic. And that's why for me, Android Auto and Apple CarPlay, for me, I consider that an essential now. And that's why you can get it on our cars, you know. So essential doesn't mean basic. Essential means what adds value to a customer's life, because ultimately they're paying for this stuff, right? And what is just superfluous and nice to have. And an example of that is electric powered seats. They're lovely to have. You know, you can put all the memory things in there. They're nice. It's nice to use. But actually for Dacia, it doesn't make sense, because we see that people get in the car, they set their seating position once and they don't move it. So what that means is on every car that we sell, we're saving £20 to £30 per car, which is another £20 to £30 we don't have to pass on to our customers. And you multiply that across, you know, 600,000 cars last year and more features within the car. I've only touched on one with the electric seats, you know. The savings for the customer start to add up, and this is what we're all about. We're all about fitting essential features to our cars that add value to our customers' daily lives.
I suppose that brings us nice back to the spring and the fact that you've put in the features that people need. You've put in the range and the battery size that people need without adding stuff that adds cost.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I come back to the essential features. The car has got vehicle to load. So this is where you can buy a little adapter. It plugs into the front of the car and you can plug into the car any 3-pin appliance. So, you know, if you want to power a dishwasher off the thing, that you could. But the reason that we fitted that to the car is because we see a lot of our customers, they go camping, they like to explore the outdoors and, you know, they like to get out there. And we thought it would be a really cool and useful feature to have this on our car for those who might want to, you know, fire up a heater for a couple of hours to keep themselves warm, fire up an electric barbecue or something like this, just to, you know, maybe make their camping journey a little bit easier. So I keep coming back to the point, but when I talk about essential features, I don't mean basic. I actually mean what really adds value to our customers. And that's another great example of what I'm talking about.
Fantastic. Well, I think that's covered the main points that we wanted to chat about. We've touched on what makes the spring different and how the EV market is going to develop. So look, thanks very much indeed for your time. Really appreciate you taking the time to chat.
Thank you very much.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please do leave a review and remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.